A really good good sounding call there. All right, so I think we're all set. I'm going to count us in. It's been a bit, so I probably forgot because my memory is really horrible. All right, so here we go in 5, 4, 3, 2. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
So we got a lot going on here, Coach. First of all, we're back from an extremely long hiatus, which was basically on me.
Well, that's okay. When you're walking around Australia and then you go to France and then you go to Germany and you're just walking all over the world, it's understandable that you're not going to make it back for the show on Wednesday.
I will take that as a good excuse. Just world traveling all over the place. So not only are we back, it's a brand new season of Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach.
Yes.
We've got a couple of things going on here. Not only do we have an in-studio guest.
Right.
We have a guest over the Skate Talk phone line.
That's right. We have Jared Geddes and Mr. Jimmy Blair, Pinnacle himself, coming up here in just a few minutes.
All right, now we're coming back in 5, 4, 3, 2. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And so we have, not only as we were saying, we've got an in-studio guest, Coach. We also have a guest over the Skate Talk hotline. Maybe we should call it that, the Skate Talk hotline.
Mr. Blair, how are you?
Pretty good. You know, enjoying life, enjoying the new year.
And then also in studio, Jared
Geddes. Hey. Glad to be here. Glad to be actually on the phone with Jimmy and not on the track at the moment. I'm just...
Yeah, it's a lot easier to deal with Jimmy when it's like, okay, he's not on the line next to me.
That's right.
It's actually over the phone, more of a casual environment. And Jimmy, you said you were actually in the shop right now, aren't you?
I am in the shop, yes. It's the only quiet place in my house. So, you know.
I'm sure that there's about maybe, I don't know, 40 or 50 people out there that are saying, good, I'm glad he's in the shop because they're waiting on their boots.
You are right on with that one, yes.
And one of the things, you know, when Coach had talked to me and we wanted to get, you know, a date hammered out to where we could get back in the studio and bring back the next season of Skate Talk, one of the things Coach was like, you know, hey, Boomer, we should really talk with some of the athletes that have been doing it for a bit to kind of get their perspective on, you know, how the sport's changing and also how you keep up with all of the young kids out there.
That's right.
Because
the mental part, the physical part, there's so much involved when you're young. It's all just about learning technique. It's about gaining strength. It's about listening to your coach, learning track experience when you get out there, and you take your wins and your losses. But when you get older, the wins become fewer and fewer, and the losses become more and more in those younger divisions that you're used to competing in. So what happens is you're forced to either move to the next division or stay getting your butt kicked. And how do you do that, especially when maybe there's nobody in your division at all? Let's say a league meet. You go to a league meet, there's nobody in your division that can run with you because there's so few of those older divisions as they get older and older. So what happens is they end up racing the younger guys. And Jimmy's all too well of this. He knows it. And Jared as well. So now they're getting their butts kicked by these young kids coming up. And how do they maintain that mental focus of saying, I'm still going to compete? And I'm still going to train. I just got to get in the gym. I got to work harder. I got to diet harder. I got to mentally focus and just deal with the losses because the losses become more when you're racing harder competitors. So that's my question to Jimmy as well as to Jared, because I think this is something that not just these two guys have been dealing with. There's a lot of guys out there that deal with this. So that's kind of what the show is supposed to be all about today. And you know what? You're kind of in that same situation. As you get older, things come into your life, other things that you have to do now. You get married, you have kids, you get a house. As you, all these things start piling up, how do you still stay active in the sport? How do you keep your brain fresh and keep that drive alive? And that's kind of what the show's about today.
So, Jared, I want to start with you because you're in a very unique situation.
Yep.
Because you've got an entire family who skates. And not only do they skate, they're pretty gosh darn fast, and you're on the line with your son.
You know what? For the most part, I am. So most of the competitions throughout the year are league meets or invitationals that are fairly close. So a lot of times I compete against Aaron. You know, most people out there know Aaron Geddes, and that's my son, and I do have to race against him. Yeah, it's a chore. I mean, he's 21 years old, and I don't know. Jimmy, I don't know if we have to disclose our age on this session, so we'll just kind of leave that to wherever. But
you just kind of muffle it. Yeah,
I'm going to be 40 this year. But anyway, the you know what? That is a challenge. And most of the guys on my team, you know, Christian Kiesler's on my team, Zach Street's on our team, and these are guys that are at a league meet that I attend, you know, once a month. And it's tough, yeah.
And they're all half your age, basically.
I think Christian's probably the next oldest, and he just turned, what, 23?
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty close to half that. But, you know, what do you say? I'm not ready to give up yet, I guess, and just go, okay, whatever.
Find that with his Aaron, who continues to get faster and faster every time out, he's faster. How does that motivate you to get you, you know, into the gym on those mornings where you don't want to go into the gym? How does that really motivate you?
Well, I'm thankful for one that, you know, with my wife, I was just telling Coach before we came in that my wife woke me up at 4:30 this morning to go to spin class. Normally that would not be me. I'm motivated, but I don't think I'm that motivated to be up at 4:30 in the morning. So I'm thankful for my wife who got me up, but, you know what? I like to train hard, and not, like I said, speed skating to me is, and just like I know Jimmy and most of the people that we're going to be talking to here, it's just kind of a way of life. So I'm not ready to just give up on it yet. I still like to compete at a high level. I don't want to just give up that thought just because I'm turning 40. anyway.
the cough age. Yeah. It's the cough age.
Coach and I passed that a long time ago.
I don't cough age nothing. I'm 47. 47.
I'm so old I forgot. Like, so, I have to ask Carol.
And Jimmy,
like,
how old are you, Jimmy?
I am actually turning 39 here in about a month and a half.
Oh, so he's the baby of the family. Nice. I love it.
Yeah,
see, Jimmy's still young. He's still a young guy.
I'm young. I think I'm going to sign up for world class. So.
That's what I'm talking about.
And so with Jimmy, and we had talked about this as we were talking about you being in your shop, you're just like Jared. You're a professional. You've got demands of a job that aren't just 9 to 5 every day. How are you able to structure being a high-class elite skater with the fact that you've got a very demanding profession and
three
people,
kids,
yeah,
a wife.
The family, wife, and everyone wants their skates and they want them now?
Well, yeah. You know, it's been a struggle. Throughout the year, I was a professional athlete. I skated world class as a young adult and, you know, high teenager, you know, whatever, young adult. And then their transition was hard. I mean, there's people out there that I say people, and I'm not going to even say kids because they're only a couple years younger than I am, that they still skate world class. They've never, you know, not just accepted, but just they've never taken their, I guess, it on the chin and say, okay, you know what? I am a classic. I am a grand classic. I'm a master man. I'm an older athlete. I when I was late 20s, I said, you know what? I work. I have, you know, I had just started my family, so I was at the age where I was like, I'm not gonna be able to train as hard as I used to. The age thing does slowly start to catch up. But I transitioned into the quote unquote older athlete, and it was a kind of hard thing to do to your ego. You know, you just. As,
yeah. So,
as,
hey,
as,
Jimmy,
as
sorry to
training.
Cut you off, but Jared is over here going, very quietly.
Really
I am. I'm going, and, preach on, brother Jimmy, preach on.
Right? So, you know, when you do transition to that point, and you do have a, I guess, grown-up job and a grown-up life and family and all that stuff, you kind of take advantage of every single time you can put your skates on, or every time you put you get in the gym, or every time you get 20 minutes to go, you know what, I'm going to go skate, you know, skate a 10K. Instead of having three, four, five, however many times you can skate or work out a week, instead of doing it halfway, you do it 100% every single time. And, you know, some people are not like that because you're like, oh, well, you know, I can slack off right now. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, with being, having more responsibilities and being older, I might not be able to show up tomorrow. I might have to stay late at work, or I might have a soccer game that I have to go to. So it really is it's a blow to the ego first, because you're like, I can beat that guy, but you can't because he's half your age. And it's like, oh, I can't beat that guy. I should be able to beat that guy. I'm going to go train. And then, you know, for me right now, I'm coming off it's probably about a year and a half hiatus that I haven't raced. I have not, other than the North Shore Marathon, I have not raced a race since Indoor Nationals of 2017. I took a year off. I actually planned on just completely retiring and saying, I'm not skating again. I'm just going to coach. Well, then I started seeing, you know, a little more roundness in my belly. I have to race, because if I don't race, I'm only going to skate so hard. I'm only going to work out so hard. So I was like, okay, I'm going to race again. So I actually do plan on skating a little bit this year as far as racing. But I do know, you know, and like Jared said, you know, when you're at practice and when you're lucky enough to have some of the fastest guys in the country at your practice, it's hard. You know, when you get dropped and you're out in no man's land at practice, you're like, oh, man, I'm horrible. I suck. I can't do anything. You know, I can't race because I'm horrible. You know,
Where's the brotherly love? Because we all know the elephant in the room here is Mr. Jonathan Blair is running away from his brother, and that crap's just unacceptable.
That's what I tell him. I tell him all the time, you're mean, and he said, just move over. Let me
tell him. Hey, you know where it's at, Jimmy. So it's really, Jimmy, it's the middle laps, right? The first 10, you're with them. But then it's those middle laps where you're by yourself, and then when they lap you, then you can kind of just jump back on again. That's, those middle laps are tough for me. That's where it's at.
It is. When you're in no man's land, and then, you know, they come on, and, you know, I'm going to jump on, and, you know, I can hang on for a couple laps, and then I can't. Then it goes again, you know. And, you know, like you said, you have a handful of good people. Luckily, we do, too.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a struggle. You know, we've got Dustin Hepson up here now.
Oh,
you know,
nice!
He just moved up to Atlanta for a little while.
Great.
You know, who knows how long? He said it's going to be for a while, which will be good. But yeah, it's actually kind of motivated me a little bit, because I getting beat by my brother all the time. It's an honor. It's an honor to be beat by him. Trust me.
But for sure.
It's, you know, I'm like, again, I can't keep up with him. So,
yeah.
you know, just giving you somebody else to chase, you know, it kind of makes it a little better. And Nick Gordon, you know, the Gordons actually moved down here. So he's been coming to practice a little bit.
Okay.
So we kind of have a little thing, you know. He's like, if you help me get in shape, I'll help you get in shape. So it's working.
Great. But, well, he's an extremely talented young man, up and coming as well, and glad to see that he's back on his skates after that horrible fall that he took at Nationals. So,
yes.
So I'm glad to see that. So I guess the question then is, for every guy that's out there that's, you know, late 30s, turning 40s, late 40s, turning 50. And, you know, when we're talking, just so you guys know, too, there's, like, complete freaks out there, like Buggy Almond. That guy's just a freak. I don't classify him as an average old guy that skates, because he's been skating for so long, he's always going to be highly competitive in his divisions, right?
You're right.
Right.
You're right.
So he's going to be there. It's the other guys that are his age that I feel sorry for. The average guys that aren't freak of skating natures. Those are the guys. So the average guy. So here's the question for the average guy out there. I'm just going to dump a little bit of personal air out here. Jared's came to me practically in tears, not really crying, but just so frustrated. And he said, Coach, I think I'm going to quit skating because I'm so frustrated right now. I can't do anything right. And he just felt so out of sorts. And we talked about it. And fortunately, through a lot of conversation and soul searching on his part and just the love and desire that he has, he stayed with it. And then, of course, it comes full circle. It comes back. Your legs come back to you after you recover. Your form comes back to you after you stop frustratedly worrying about it. But it's one of those things of how do you guys get through this? And for any guy that's out there, any lady that's out there, any person of an older division, you're on the outside of that older division, still trying to compete with younger competitors. What kind of advice can you give them on things that are working for you? Because there might be one athlete out there that's potentially going to walk away tomorrow after practice because they're just not getting it. And they're not getting from they used to get. And I don't want to see another athlete leave and say, I'm too old, I'm too out of shape, and I just can't compete. So how do we keep those guys? And Jared's getting ready talking, yeah. And then we'll have Jimmy on.
Well, I think what I've learned so far is that, first off, you just got to take a break and take a step back for a second. And I don't mean take a break because we all know how that goes. When you take a break from skating, it usually ends up being years or permanently. And that's the kind of the last thing we want for anybody in the sport. But you're right. I was frustrated. And I think people who skated at a high level, what happens when you get frustrated is, in my case, is I started training harder and training more and got more frustrated. So you got to remember, I'm not in my 20s anymore, obviously. So when you train harder and train like a guy who can train that is 20 years old, like a Christian or an Aaron, that guys who can do it day after day and hours and hours and hours, well, I don't recover as well. So the more frustrated I got, the harder I trained and the worse I felt. So it was like a snowball.
A vicious cycle.
Yeah, I kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I'd come to practice and I would just be destroyed and I couldn't skate a practice hardly. And I was getting beat. I don't like the term getting beat at practice because that's not really the case. But people who I would normally be in front of were now, I was behind them. And it happened quickly because I was so hurt. My body would not recover and I couldn't get there. So I'd say, first off, take care of your body. Take care of yourself. I mean, we only get one of them. We don't get another body. It's the only one we get, so we got to take care of it. We started coming down to a diet and understanding that, hey, it's okay to take a rest day. It's okay to recover. That's all right. But I would feel guilty. You know, I'd be 4 days in or 5 days in on a training and guilty because on my rest day that I wasn't doing anything. So I'd call Christian. I'd be like, hey, you want to meet me over at the track? And we'd go out and skate, 10K repeaters and knock out 3 10Ks in a night when I was already destroyed and trying to skate with Christian, who's Christian.
And he's ready to do 3 more 10Ks after you do those 10K repeaters.
Like, he was looking back like, are you serious, Jared? Let's go. Come on. I mean,
when you needed to be all resting.
It was a boomer situation about 15 years ago. Yeah, and just a quick sideline, guys. 15 years ago, I'm over at Foster Park. Me and the team are over there and a bunch of other skaters. And we're all going to skate. We're going to skate a 10K. It's 3 laps. It's cool. Boomer shows up on his skates. Hey, it's cool. Let's go do this 10K. Let's knock it out. We skate the 10K. He's up front. He leads. He drops back. He's critiquing. He's helping. He's pushing skaters up that are falling behind. We get done with the 10K. Everybody's back to the cars. We're all whooped out. We're tired. We're ready to have a cookout, relax, take our skates off. And Boomer, hey, you want to sit down? Nah, I got to go get my training in. And then he leaves and goes and skates another 12 or 15 miles.
But that was 15 years ago. That was 15 years ago.
You were a jerk. You did a 10K and then said, I got to go get my training in.
But that's the difference where it's like, okay, so you're still late 20s. Yeah. Versus, okay, in the 40s, that rest day is so critical, days, well, so critical.
Well, not only that, so the other thought would be is expectations. So I became with such an expectation, especially within our own league and certain invitationals and so on and so forth, that when I was on the track that I would be in a certain spot. So that I should be in all the finals, that I should be placing or be on the podium. So I took other people's expectations and made them mine as well. Instead of realizing that, hey, you know what, Jared, you're not 20 years old anymore to have that expectation that you're gonna be on the podium in a pro division, even in a league meet is probably not a realistic expectation. So it's being able to come off the track and end up in fifth or fourth, overall or fifth overall, and understanding that people are looking at you like, wow, Jared, how the heck did you just end up fifth?
But that's a win when you consider the age of the skaters in front of you.
Yeah, so I started looking like, okay, well, I finished behind, Christian Kiesler and Herbie Harbison and Aaron Geddes and got fourth. I'm like, okay, well, in my mind, I did great.
That's a good win.
But when you have people going, wow, are you okay? Is everything good? Like, yeah, I'm good. I'm 40. That's what's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So,
hold on. The little snicker that just came from Jimmy kills me. So, what do you think, Jimmy? What's to basically add on to what Jared said and to give your thoughts? What do you say to these athletes that are out there? How do we get these older people to realize, have realistic goals? One, and two, not take it so personal when you get beat by someone half your age.
That's a two-part answer.
Okay.
Because, like Jared, I've been there. I have, it's like, okay, I was fast last week, or, you don't win at practice, whatever, but, last week I could beat this guy at practice. I am faster than him, but he's waxing me right now. Why? And there's multiple reasons, some of it is life, some of it is stress, all that stuff. And you can attribute anything to it. But like Jared said, you've got to rest. You've got to keep your body give it enough time to recover, give it enough time to rest. When you beat your legs down and beat your body down at a training practice, You have to let it recover. And sometimes it takes 2 days instead of that, I'll take a day off.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes 2 days. And being as we are older, we might have a hectic day at work where it's maybe a physical day at work where you're really not recovering. Another thing that Jared didn't really touch on is nutrition. Mm-hmm. Nutrition is key. I'm an avid water drinker. A lot of people drink sodas and that's fine. A lot of people drink, whatever drinks, but I'm an avid water drinker. And I notice when I don't have enough, it's just hydration, period. When I don't have enough, I'm off. No matter if I'm training or not, I have a bad day if I'm not hydrated. And when you're trying to train as a high-level athlete, which even if at our, the middle ages of our life, that we're getting to, this sport is still a high-level sport. You have to be in shape. Any one of us can say we're not in shape, whatever. But the fact is, we're really, really still in shape. We're just not in skating shape.
Right. I'm in a perfect round shape. That's all I got to say.
That's what everybody says. Round is a shape,
That's right.
Jimmy's right. That's two different kinds of shape.
One thing that, the nutrition thing, the hydration thing, keeping your body in tip-top shape. You're only going to get out of your body what you put in. So make sure you eat fairly healthy. You don't have to go on this huge diet and all that stuff, but don't eat junk. Don't feed your body with junk, especially in training mode. And if you are having a bad day, like Jared said, sometimes you not physically, but sometimes you come off the floor, or come off the track or whatever, and you're mentally in tears because you are so frustrated. I've been there so many times, and you just sit there. Sometimes you have somebody to talk to. sometimes you don't. Sometimes you literally just stare into nothing, and you don't know what to do, whether to just hang them up, which, you know, I don't think you should. You know, I'm an avid, like all three of you, I'm an avid skater. Skating, no matter if you're racing, training, or just doing it for fun, is the most awesome sport in the world.
Totally agree. Amen.
You know, so, you know, if you are just out there and you're, you know, getting frustrated and, you know what, man, I'm getting beat at practice, you know, I've gone to the last two races and I'm not improving. Well, but are you having fun? And, you know, a lot of times we're competitive, you know, this is a competitive sport. So if you're not improving, you're probably not going to be having fun. But as we are getting older, sometimes you're not going to improve. Sometimes the goal is to maintain.
Yeah.
And that is a win. You know, a lot of people do get frustrated when they're not winning, or they don't win anymore, or they're not on the podium anymore. But sometimes, like Jared said, getting fifth, getting fourth against some of the best people in the country, that's a win. So, you know, a big thing in this, you know, in this sport is, I think a lot of coaches, and I'm at fault too, as a coach and an athlete, we put so much pressure on the medal, on that win. And it's not to the point of a, you know, the participation trophy, whatever, because I hate that. But just being out there and having fun and being in the sport and being in the race and having that competition, you know, that competitive edge and getting out there, racing, mixing it up with your buddy, who some of them might be half your age, but you're still having fun. And then five to go, they take off. That's still a win. You're still having fun. You're still in shape. You're still in some of the best shape of anybody in the country, even if you don't consider yourself in shape. But, you know, that's kind of where I'm, as I'm getting older, and I see other people getting older, and I see even kids, they get frustrated, and I'm like, look, it's not about, you don't have to win to have fun. You don't have to win to meet a goal. You know, just meeting a goal. You know what? Maybe you made it out of that semi. And as it transitions to adults too. You know, maybe my goal for the next race is just to compete, have fun, and maybe make it to a final. And that's what, there's nothing wrong with that. We put so, as getting older, I think we put so much, you know, so much pressure on that win, and it's not about that.
Yeah, and I always tell all the athletes, Jimmy, that champions are not defined by their wins; they're defined by their wins, their losses, and how they represent themselves. So the wins and losses don't necessarily matter when it comes to being a champion. I see athletes that don't win for long stretches, and everybody still love them, and everybody still appreciates them and respects their ability, even though they're not necessarily winning and on that podium every race that they touch the floor. They're champions. And I've seen people that win a crap ton of races, and people just don't respect them because they're not true champions of the sport. They're just very strong skaters. And I think that's correct. The key.
Yeah. Hey, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
So as a, I know as we're getting towards, I know this is extending on, but I got a side note, and especially with having Jimmy on the phone, I can't miss my opportunity here. So Jimmy, I was talking with Aaron and Christian the other night at practice. And these guys tell me, we're discussing about age groups and almost kind of what we're talking about here. As you get older, those age divisions, as you get older in the competition level. And one of them said, you know, in sophomore division, they've got all this speed, but that race strategy isn't there. That's just kind of wild and crazy. Like Like, they just go nuts. There's no real race strategy. It's get to the front. Whatever you got to do to get there, doesn't matter. Junior's a little bit better. And then Aaron and Christian go, yeah, senior's a lot more chill. Like, they kind of get it. And it gets a little crazy in the last four or five laps. But other than that, it's kind of chilled out. They go, I don't know what happened to the divisions in the middle. But all of a sudden, you get to master men, and you guys are crazy. Like, you guys are nuts. Like, you guys got all this speed, but you guys race like sophomore men.
You know, I was at Nationals, and I think it might have been in Albuquerque. But it was my last year. Jared, you were a master.
Yeah.
And you were on the floor. I was Grand Classic, and I was standing on the side while y'all were racing, and I looked, and I don't remember who I was talking to, but I looked next to me, and I said, I am not skating master next year. Because those guys are nuts.
Well, Aaron said to me, he goes, Dad, do you remember the last time you finished all three distances at a Nationals? And I go, well, that's a really good question. He goes, well, you didn't the last year at Lincoln, and you didn't, you remember, you had a concussion, you couldn't skate. And the year before that, he goes, and the only reason that you ended up getting second overall in Albuquerque is because you and our Terry Fletcher got banged up in the craziest heat I've ever seen. And you woke up out of an unconscious state and rolled across the line to go to a final.
What's that?
That's the one you're talking about, I think.
That's exactly the race I was talking
about. There was a fall every race.
Every race. So yeah. What I would say to older guys is live for moments like that. Well, wait a minute. No. Actually, don't. Rewind that. Forget I said that. Discussion. Keep skating.
It's trying to relive the youth. I want to be as crazy as I was when I was skating in those younger divisions, so let's go all out. We don't get up off of the floor as quick as we did back then.
That's right.
Yes, no, we don't.
Yeah.
Goes back to that recovery thing. Also, recovering from injuries is not good as well. So try and stay upright as best as you can.
You know, and wrapping up, though, all in all, I would say, just like Jimmy, have reasonable expectations of where you're at, where you are, and have fun with the sport. Remember why you fell in love with it in the first place. That's what I would say. I mean, I try to tell that to some of the younger guys who are and girls that are coming up on our team and other teams that are put so much pressure on themselves is, you know what, try to remember why you started doing this in the first place. I mean, you had so much fun when you were a novice, and now all of a sudden you're on the sidelines bawling on every race because something happened or you didn't finish in the position you thought you should. And where did you lose the fun in this? And I get that you should still be competitive and have that drive, but remember why we fell in love in the first place.
And one thing that I can add, and I know, Jared, you have the same, probably, you know, you have the same feeling, is sometimes, you know, when you're out there, and you get frustrated because, you know, you might not be having a good event, or you might not have a good race, but those people that are looking up to you,
right?
You know, those, because as older athletes, a lot of us have transitioned into coaches or partial, you know, help, you know, the assistants or whatever, but when there's people looking up to you, they see the what's in your face. So if you have that, you know, that I'm frustrated, I'm pissed, whatever, the kids see that. You know, as when I was young, I looked up to, you know, all the people. Yeah. And a lot of the older athletes at that time, they helped me.
Right.
Now, a lot of the joy that I get is not on the floor anymore. It's standing right next to the floor and seeing some of the people that I've helped.
That's true.
That fulfills my heart almost more than my race. So when I'm out there racing, I'm going to have a good time anyway, because, you know, the kid that I was helping, he just made it into his first final ever. And I'm just out there having fun because it's a win-win. So, you know, as just, I don't know, maybe as an older athlete, it's about just more enjoying the moment versus enjoying the medal.
Yeah. I experience the same thing when I'm actually racing. Like when I'm racing with Jared, I enjoy watching him just run away from me. Because I know it's not going to be long. He's going to be coming right back by. And I'm going to see him again. So it's like my buddy's not leaving me. He's just going to come behind me and give me a little extra incentive to go a little faster the next time he passes me.
8 more seconds, he'll be back around.
Right?
Hey, I tell you what, this was a really good start to the season with Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Because, again, not only Jared Geddes joining us in studio, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. And thank you, Jimmy, for all that you have done for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Reach out to Jimmy, pinnacleracing.com. And I think there's even new Pinnacle gloves, Jimmy, right?
Just came out with those. Yes, I wore them last week. They're pretty nice.
So pinnacleracing.com, you can look for Jimmy Blair there. We'll have both you guys back on whenever you want to join us on Skate Talk. Just reach out. We'll get you on.
Awesome. Always a pleasure, guys.
Absolutely.
And that's going to do it for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.